Doubletake is an extension of the award-winning movie review show Cinema Classics, which airs Thursdays at 8.01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast features additional content and discussion with guests. Doubletake is listed by Feedspot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
And I'm mighty proud of that. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm KG Klein.
And this is Doubletake. I'm going to avoid being cute with the title of this movie. Regretting You.
Regretting You.
What a terrible title.
I like the title.
Hold on. All right.
Okay.
So doing young adult romances is not my thing at all. I can't remember the last time. Maybe.
This is another Book of the Month Club movie from the same writer who wrote last year's It Ends With Us.
I don't accuse you of anything other than these are all forgettable. So that's why you could mix up the titles.
It ends with us. I was not crazy about it. Most of these Book of the Month Club movies come across as just an expensive version of a Lifetime movie.
Or a Hallmark Hall of Fame movie.
Yes,
so what
exactly.
What are we doing reviewing it?
Well, Regretting You is the rare exception. I actually like this movie a lot.
And that's why we are reviewing it.
Yeah, this movie manages to escape a lot of the pitfalls of films. The Fault Is in Our Stars, last year's On Wild Horses, Where the Crawdads Sing. Most of these movies are very sentimental. They're sappy. The conflict is usually based on some kind of miscommunication, which could have been resolved easily in a normal world. But this film stands out. This is a really balanced, well-written script. And I was afraid going into this film that this was merely going to be a movie about the pitfalls of premarital sex, extramarital sex, and there is to some extent that. The foundation of this film, set 17 years in the past, is about premarital sex and a person who chooses not to have an abortion.
Well, don't confuse it with a comedy when you see these actors actually opening up on the beach.
And yes.
Young, and I say, oh, it must be a comedy because there's no way these people look like teenagers.
No, no. And there is no way that Grace McKenna is going to pass as a 16-year-old girl, and she shouldn't be a 16-year-old girl in this film anyway because she's already got into college. She should be 17 or 18, probably 18. But what saves this movie is a very well-balanced script that doesn't get into a lot of the pitfalls. It manages to walk that razor's edge between being too sentimental and being too much engrossed in morality.
Tell me, what is the central conflict?
This woman who's played by one of my favorite actresses right now, Allison Williams, who we know from Get Out, but I know her better from the two Megan movies. She played Gemma in the Megan films.
Yes.
She's a natural comedic actress, and she reminds me for all the world of Mary Tyler Moore.
Well, yeah, you know, she reminds me of, and that's why I'm going to be confused, because I was telling you that Wayne and I enjoyed Anniversary starring Diane Lane.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm getting her confused now with these two.
Allison Williams?
Yes.
Yes.
And the reason is that they're both beautiful, mature women.
They're both great character actresses.
Yes. Well,
Allison especially. Yeah. Allison has a natural comedic time, and she was discovered doing comedy improv, and then she got her big break in Get Out. But she is probably better, again, known to our audiences for the Megan movies, where she played Gemma. And in the most recent one, she had that wonderful chemistry with the Megan character, saved the film by being funny. But here, it's her comedy element that never really escapes her that helps save this movie. There's always just a little bit of comedy in her scenes. The scene when she pulls up alongside her daughter and her daughter's boyfriend and says, "Get in the car," and they open the door, and she can't open the door because she's too close. And then she pulls back, gets in the car, and then she pulls back up and just glares at her. But even that glare has an element of comedy to it.
You're mining this very carefully because it's a serious movie.
It is a serious movie. It is a morality play. There is an interesting element at work here in that this is one of the first films to be developed by Paramount after Paramount was purchased by Skydance Studios. Skydance, we know, is owned by a billionaire, a very ultra-right-wing conservative. So there was a fear when Skydance purchased Paramount that Paramount, the studio that brought us Raiders of the Lost Ark, was suddenly going to turn into another Angel studio where every movie is about...
Be careful now. I like Angel Studios.
I know you like Angel Studios, but where the emphasis is on Christian morality And the solution is usually to be found in the Bible or with God's intervention.
Or you're told about it at the end.
And you could see how this movie could have gone this way, but it doesn't. And in the end, without giving away any spoilers, in the end, the Christian morality is really sidelined in favor of, no, it's okay to have premarital sex as long as you're in a healthy relationship. So it loses a lot of its right-wing angles in the resolution. And I really like that about it.
Well, it is, and I have to agree with you, it is not so much what you would have expected, but it's rather about family. A great movie for Thanksgiving time.
It's a great movie for Thanksgiving time. It is going to definitely be a movie. Guys, your girlfriend, your wife is going to want to take you to this movie. Go. It's a good movie. You're going to enjoy it, too. This is not a chick flick. This is a movie that guys can enjoy.
I have to say that most of the critics have been thumbs down on this. And in fact, it probably has no more than 2 stars from most. And I think it's because it borders on that sappy that you were talking about.
It borders
about.
On that sentimental sweet, a little bit too much morality.
Yeah.
But it escapes, in my mind, the pitfalls of those films we mentioned earlier, like The Fault Is in Our Stars and On Wild Horses, because it has this comedy element that manages to pull it through. It also breaks the mold several times. There's a couple of sex scenes in the film, which is very uncharacteristic of most of those Hallmark movies.
Some good
movies.
Kissing, but man, you're not getting much else.
Well, you're getting more than you'd get with an Angel Studios movie. But I like the fact that it doesn't stick to simply Christian morality. It does break the rules, and it does say, you know what, it's okay to break the rules, because those rules can sometimes pin you down into making the wrong choices.
Yeah, and I think it does a credible job in showing the dynamics between a mother and a daughter. Two different
yes.
people.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and
you couldn't pick a better actress than Grace McKenna.
No.
You know, we know her as Phoebe, the young daughter from the Ghostbusters movies, who stood out and owned those movies.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. And Mason Thames?
Thames is in it as well.
Yeah, and he's been in 2 or 3 recently.
Yeah, he's sort of an up-and-coming Timothée Chalamet type. Yeah, everybody has to look like Timothée Chalamet
right
now.
And I'm so happy about it because he's not quite as soft as Timothée
He's
Chalamet.
Not as soft as Timothy. He doesn't quite as effeminate as Timothy does. But I like the cast, but I really, really like the chemistry between Allison Williams and Grace McKenna in this.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that's the heart of this movie, is they're coming together. It's a spoiler of sorts, but everybody knows it. There's a big accident.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the story. So this is set, Allison Williams married her high school sweetheart because he got her pregnant. She decided to keep the baby.
Well, it's not a sweetheart. I mean, almost
no,
like a one-night stand.
He's more of a jock type. Yeah. He's not particularly bright. He's more into drinking and partying. And 17 years later, he's still a party boy.
On the other side is the bespectacled brother.
Conservative intellectual brother. So it's a story of two brothers and two sisters who marry together. And Grace McKenna is a very smart, somewhat nerdy woman, just kind of like Gemma in Megan, and she marries him because he got her pregnant, but over on the side is his brother, who is the right one for her. Always was the right one for her.
Let me interrupt by just saying, my list of actors has McKenna Grace.
Is it McKenna Grace?
I think it is.
Okay. Well, we'll say McKenna Grace then.
Yeah. Blame it all. It's
interchangeable.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, who wouldn't know that? But I kept blinking and saying, am I reading it right? Her first name is McKenna.
You're right. We've got these two couples, two brothers and two sisters who have married together, and one is obviously better suited for the other guy. And 17 years later, there's a terrible car wreck, and you discover that one of the sisters and the other brother, the party boy that she didn't marry, have both been killed, and they, of course, were having an affair.
Now, that is the unbelievable part of this.
That is the unbelievable part.
How can they go that long?
Well, if we were doing this as a morality play, then this would be about the evils of extramarital sex.
Right.
They got what was coming to them because they were having an affair.
Yeah.
That sets the stage for the conflict in the story, because what really comes out of that is now Allison Williams' character and her daughter, McKenna Grace, are both damaged from losing husband, losing father, and then Guy, the husband on the other side, is damaged from having lost his wife, while he now has a, 7-8-month-old baby to care for, and he's also in an unresolved conflict, not even sure that it's his kid.
Another thing that's really silly here is the bespectacled Dave Franco.
Yes, yes.
I can't be quite sure what he's going to do with his glasses or not.
Yeah, playing the Brad Majors from Rocky Horror Row. But what I love about this is how they explore the damaged elements. And that's what really is the heart of this story. There's not a lot of story here. It's more about two very damaged people, a mother and her 17-year-old daughter, having to come to terms with this losses, well, and move on with their lives.
What do you recommend about Regretting You?
I think it's a terrific film for whole families. If you know, teenage kids can get a little bit from this movie. Adults can get a lot from this movie. And again, guys, if your girlfriend or your wife wants to go see this movie, go along. It's a great film. Yeah. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Look, bring a couple of your cynics with you, and you can have a great laugh at many of the lines here.
Yeah, and you can see Allison Williams doing more than playing a scream queen.
Well, we're still trying to make sense out of Regretting You, which is a young adult romance out in theaters. This is the one that shamelessly promotes AMC, if I'm correct.
Yes. Oh, yeah, it was actually filmed in the AMC South Lake Theater. Yeah.
And they've got one shot of the two of them embracing whatever behind them is
all
poster.
The AMC posters. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Now they shut down. They filmed the movie late at night after the theater closed. It's to good effect.
What I'm interested in, it is worth seeing. It's going to be laughable to some. It's going to be, as Ken describes it, a more serious discussion of contemporary mores with teens, with older teens. These are seniors in high school. They're doing some pretty serious loving of each other without it being visual on the screen. It's just some silly things like the meeting cute on the highway.
Oh, yeah.
With the sign,
yeah.
Right? You know, some of that stuff is. But
There's those little Hallmark Hall of Fame elements that get thrown in here, as you do with any of these Book of the Month.
But it
movies.
Does, for families who are gathering at Thanksgiving time for their dinner, it does remind me that there are some very serious issues. They're like minefields just waiting at dinner time to come up.
And this whole film is based on a tragedy that occurs within a family.
Yeah.
That affects two families in the end. It does explore, with some comic elements, this tragedy that goes on. And it walks the razor's edge between being too sentimental and between too much of a morality play. But one thing I wanted to touch upon, this is one of the first films to come out of Paramount since Paramount was acquired by Skydance.
Right.
And when that happened, there was a gasp in the industry, because here's Paramount, which has been around for 100 years, brought us some of the greatest films in history. Raiders of the Lost Ark, for example, now is acquired by a company which is well known for being owned by a extreme right-wing conservative. And there was a concern that Paramount was going to turn into a big budget production of movies like Angel Studios brings us, about God, about conservative values, basically very right-wing storylines. And I think this movie kind of alleviates some of those fears.
Oh, no, yeah. And I agree, because you know I like Angel Studios. And
I know you like
the same
angels.
Right, I can, leaning.
Some angels I like, some I could really don't like. The one about the post-nuclear blast I found offensive, because it glorified what they call preppers.
Yeah.
And the idea that guys who hoard machine guns and MREs and are just ready for the apocalypse are the heroes.
Right. And I was amused by it. I can see where there are people who would keep out their fellow Americans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was what the story was really about. But I found that movie to be somewhat dangerous, because it does glorify the people who are anticipating and prepping for this.
Their big hit is The Sound of Freedom. And this was the one about human trafficking in South America. Because I got their message, but they didn't hit it hard. They actually encouraged my son, when he retires, to actually join forces against human trafficking, because he lives in South America.
Oh, good for him.
So it was that powerful. And without knowing, they made $250 million.
Oh, they made a bundle off that one. They've had a couple really big hits.
And they're Angel Studios, because they get angels to support them.
Yeah, and you'll see 200 or 300 names at the end of one of their movies.
Anyway,
I
digress.
So my issue was, and this has been a problem that a lot of people, not just film critics, but people within the industry have looked at and said, is Paramount going to become a giant Angel Studios making movies about The Last Supper and about the Revelations and the
or
Bible?
Mother Cabrini.
And morality stories about how people should live their lives, not how they do live their lives. This movie, again, which went into production after the buyout by Skydance, I think this movie kind of alleviates that, because the Christian morality is there, but there's no more references to God than there is in the Canadian national anthem.
Well, you and I discussed this earlier, the Truth and Treason.
Truth and Treason,
is a good example. It's a real story from Nazi Germany.
Real story. It has some Christian elements. There, the idea that he was a Mormon and that the Mormons turned the cheek when the Jews started getting arrested.
That's right, yeah.
And, you know, then some references to the Bible. I didn't buy into the it's either truth or treason, because truth
says truth and treason. Right,
yeah.
So you
and
have
it was,
both.
It was truth
you,
and,
you're
and
right,
treason.
Right. Now, so let's talk about some YA young adult movies.
Okay, let's go for it.
And this is where you're going to be the expert.
I do love YA films.
A very highly touted is To All the Boys I've Loved Before. Did you ever see that?
No.
All right, so teenage girls' secret love letters are exposed and wreak havoc on her love life. Okay, so that's typical YA stuff.
Two that I want to bring up from 2023.
Right.
One of them you and I both loved, and it was near the top of our list that year, and that was Ghostlight. The father, they've lost the son in a tragedy.
I forgot that one. You are so right.
The father
joined a small community theater company to do
Hamlet.
Oh, yeah.
And the daughter finds out and thinks he's having an affair, and she's still damaged from the loss of her brother. What a terrific sleeper of a movie. And folks, if you did not see Ghostlight, it's on streaming. Watch this movie.
This movie was one of the
great films of 23. Now, the other one from 23, though, I want to bring up that was another overlooked sleeper was called The Starling Girl. And The Starling Girl was about a very conservative, not Amish, but a very close to Amish community in the North Carolina. One of the girls, who's 16, starts an affair with a 24, 25-year-old member of the community who's considered one of the mentors to the young girls. And what I loved about this movie is it deconstructs the myth that of the innocent young girl who gets caught up in this affair with an older boy. She turns out to be the villain in the story. She's a manipulative monster by the time the movie is over. And I love the way that movie turned normal moral concepts on their end.
I have a couple of older films that I think you know, and we both know, with names that became even more prominent. And the first one of these would be Call Me By Your Name.
Armie
Hammer. Timothy Chalamet.
This was one of the groundbreaking works of gay cinema.
Yes.
The male equivalent of Blue is the Warmest Color, to me anyway.
Well, this is 2017,
Blue is the Warmest Color came out about that same time, too.
Yeah, all right.
And, Blue is the Warmest Color is about an older girl and a younger girl starting an affair. Call Me By Your Name is about an older guy and a younger guy starting an affair at a time when being open about being gay was subject to imprisonment.
And now, as we know, Chalamet has skyrocketed. Now, what happened to Armie?
Armie got himself in a lot of trouble for abusive relationships. And he has nothing to worry about.
Right.
He's from the
Armie
Hammer family, so he has all the money in the world anyway. But he has effectively been blackballed. The last time we saw him, I think, was probably Man from U.N.C.L.E., although I do think he does some low-budget films on the side where his blacklisted status doesn't really impact it. But he was a great actor.
Yeah.
But, when you peel back the layers and see the kind of things he was doing to women, that was a little spooky.
Older than that, in 2013, one that starred uprising young stars, Miles Teller and Shailene Woodley, in a film called The Spectacular Now.
The Spectacular Now was a series of young adult films that Woodley was in. We know her best from the Maze Game movies. But she did this, and she did another one, I think, called... it was about the White Dove in a Storm or something that.
Okay, but she's faded a bit, no?
We haven't seen a lot from her lately.
Yeah.
She pops up from now and then. But both of those films, White Dove in a Storm and the one you just mentioned.
Spectacular Now.
Both are young adult films about serious first relationships, first boyfriends. None of these movies will ever rise to the level of Fast Times at Ridgemont High. That is the bar that will never be surpassed.
No, right. And there's... As far as I remember in The Spectacular Now, there's not a whole lot of humor. Miles Teller is just a guy whose life is not changing until he meets Shailene Woodley, who is of an avant-garde.
Yeah.
And she changes his attitude toward life. But I don't think there's anything really comical about it. It's
no,
just,
no.
And it's a really good coming of age.
It was a good coming of age movie, taking advantage of her star power from the game movies. She still does some low budget movies. Mostly they get released straight to video.
And talking about your gay themes, one again, 7 years ago, I don't know why I've got all these old films, but anyway, Love, Simon. In 2018, he has to reveal to his family finally that he's gay. And those around that time, about 7, 8 years ago, really starting in, well, in serious.
For me, John, the great era for young adult movies will still be the early 80s. When you look back, and yeah, those films were a little sketchy, and they're a little R-rated by today's standards, but when you look at films like Fast Times at Ridgemont High,
oh, yeah,
and Porky's, just about all of the young adult films from 82, 83, 84.
Hardly as serious as the ones that we're talking
they
about.
They don't take themselves seriously, but that's part of the fun of it.
One that you mentioned, The Fault in Our Stars, 2014. Mm-hmm. And that's Shailene Woodley.
Shailene Woodley, yeah.
Hazel and Gus are teenagers who meet at a cancer support group.
Yeah.
Really
yeah.
serious
It's
one.
Pretty heavy in this film that we're talking about, Regretting You. There was a little bit of Christian morality in The Fault in Our Stars. So the idea, again, that these two kids meeting with cancer and their families wanting to protect them and from the pitfalls of a relationship and how this might impact their care. And then at the end, they find that ultimately love is more important than being overprotective parents.
Yeah, and I like about these young adult films, even though I don't, well, I guess you would call Twilight, that series, young adult.
Oh, that's young adult horror.
I know,
yeah,
right.
Young
but
adult
even
horror.
Then,
horror
I wasn't,
romance.
I wasn't anxious to go back to that.
Well, they're in the theaters right now if you want to watch them.
No.
And there's a whole lot of girls who are now out of college who grew up with those films and remember them fondly, just as many of us remember the Harry Potter films.
But you've made a good case for Regretting You, and I'm reminded that these are young people, and so they still have a lot of living to do and a lot of learning. And, and if, as you have described it, and as I have appreciated it, if you see the overarching morality of what they're talking about, it applies to every age. It's not just you.
Oh, no. And to me, the real heart of this film was not McKenna Grace's younger character.
Grace McKenna. We're going to get a call from her.
It was not her evolution, her story, so much it was, to me, Allison Williams struggling with the loss of her husband.
Well,
the
sure,
fact
look
that
at
her
us,
husband,
adult males. And who do we go to right away? This lovely middle-aged woman who is
and
smart.
And she was the more interesting character. Yes. The fact that she could bring comedy into every scene, she is just terrific. But before we wrap up, I want to name one other great young adult film.
I knew you would.
There's one that we cannot escape. And it's, do I like it as much as Fast Times? Not quite, but boy, it's close. Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah, boy. That's
you know,
iconic.
If you want the ultimate for young adult movie, you can't do any better than Matthew Broderick at the pinnacle of his career doing a film that became iconic with kids in the 1980s.
Yeah, there was so much to say about life and about learning, but yet there was so much comedy also involved.
Yeah. There was a free-spiritedness to that. Morality was secondary. It was a desire to let's experience life. And as Ferris Bueller says, things happen pretty fast. If you don't pay attention, you could miss it.
Film today is Regretting You. It's in theaters now. And I even if you've heard that it's sappy and Hallmark-like, Ken is here to tell you there's much more to it. And he has convinced me. But believe me, the only thing that convinced me to do this film today was Ken saying, I really liked it. And it got my attention right away when he says that. And he was right. If you want both adults and young people to go to a movie that they both can enjoy and they'll put together afterwards like a puzzle. There really is a puzzle as far as the storyline goes.
Yes.
So many pieces to be together. It's a great talking points.
It all comes together at the end, too. It has a very satisfying ending.
Yes.